Well, again, it's good to be with you today, and we're going to learn a little bit about Joshua and the Israelites today. But before that, maybe there's been some time in your lives when each one of us has had to make a very important decision in our life. Not an everyday decision about brushing your teeth or getting up or shutting the alarm clock off, but a decision that would impact maybe the rest of your life. Let's call it an intersection in life where we come to, and we must make the decision whether to go left or right or stop or yield or go ahead. One intersection in my life was when I, 46 years ago, Linda and I came to the altar and asked Christ into our lives in our marriage. I'm so thankful for that, a marriage. I think of Mayo and Marge, and just how he shared how God had blessed them with 64 years. Maybe there's others here who have had more than that, but what a blessing it is to have a marriage. But a marriage that's built on the Lord Jesus Christ. We set our marriage vows and promised to love one another until death did us part. God has blessed that marriage decision. Another intersection in our lives was 30 plus years ago when we asked Jesus Christ into our lives. What a blessing that was. How God came into our lives through a Bible study, through Roy Hope Ministry as he was singing A Warm Family Feeling. We didn't have a warm family feeling because it wasn't built on Christ. I believe many of you can relate and look back at some decisions in your life as well as the intersection in life. Maybe it was a career decision, a marriage, getting married, a health issue, decisions on what to do, going to the doctor, and then dealing maybe with some bad news, but maybe leaving the doctor's office and thankful for the good news. Starting a family, as we heard about, with these new children being born that we prayed for, mothers-to-be, and maybe it was buying a home. For many of us, it came to the spiritual decision or that intersection life that we made with God. Coming to the point in our lives when we, like Solomon in Ecclesiastes 1:2, said meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And it is without Christ, isn't it? We came to a point of conviction in our lives and confessed, asked Jesus Christ into it and the promise that he had for us for eternal life. Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess. In Joshua 3 this morning, the Israelites were now facing a critical decision, or maybe one of those intersections. As we have read, as Corey read in the Old Testament, how they'd been told that God had a future promise for them in this promised land. Chapter 1, verse 3, God said, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses, the promised land. This promised land was just across the Jordan River. It was a land that was very fertile. Jeremiah 2:7 says, I brought you into this fertile land to eat its fruit and its rich produce. Exodus 3:8 told Moses, this land was flowing with milk and honey. So I want to read today from Joshua 3, 1 through 17. And shall we stand as I read? God's word. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are the Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Hizrites, Gigasites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. As soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Normally, this would not have been a problem for them to cross, since the Jordan River is usually only about 100 feet wide where they were going to cross. But at this time of the year, it was 16 to 20 feet above flood stage. There was no way that they were going to be able to cross the river. They needed God's miracle. So this morning, as we relate to decisions and maybe that crossing in our lives, I believe there are four steps that we must take so we are able to get past these obstacles of life that may be in our way so that we can go to the promised land. I believe the first step is a challenge. In verses 1 through 4, the Israelites and Joshua were challenged to make a decision to follow the instructions that God had given them. And these instructions are also for us to follow the Lord as we face the Jordans in our life. A decision to watch and wait on God, because they couldn't move forward until the ark moved forward. And they had to stay 1,000 yards behind that. So what was this Ark of the Covenant? Well, it was in the shape of maybe like a coffin. It was made of acacia wood overlaid with gold. It had four rings of gold where the carrying poles slipped through for the 12 priests to carry it. Within the ark were the two stone tablets containing the Ten Commandments, the gold pot of manna for the remembrance of their 40 years in the wilderness, how God had provided food for them. Aaron's rod was a symbol of a high priest authority, and that would be God. He is the high priest. The significance of the ark was the symbol of God's presence with them and his power. in chapter 1, 5 that says, no one will be able, God said to them, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you, to sustain you, to bring you success. They were challenged in always focusing upon God's timing, not theirs. There are times in our lives, I believe, when we think or make a decision that things are ready to move. I have to pray for patience. I don't know about you. To pray about it in the right attitude, that it's God's will and not my will. To find out it's God's timing. Maybe we prayed and nothing happens. Well, it's not in God's time. Crossing the Jordan required them to leave the comforts of this dry land and look at how would they cross this flooded Jordan. These people were desert nomads. They didn't have any swimming lessons. I'm sure that some said, as they looked upon that flood-staged Jordan, that's okay, Lord. We'll just stay here and wait till the flood goes down. Maybe we'll stay in the stands of the football field and not get on the field. Could that be us? As we are challenged by God? Turning God down God's challenge to us, letting the world or embarrassment or ourself overtake us. I think of last week when Brandon shared on Equip. They aren't standing. They're following. Following that ministry within SDSU. I'm sure they've had some Jordans to face. Some people who have, maybe atheists, have said there is no God. Maybe some obstructions by ACLU or something like that. But we thank God for Brandon and others who are following God. I believe the second step was a command, verses 5 through 8. The Israelites were to sanctify or consecrate yourselves, which means make sure to prepare their hearts, to prepare them for the unknown, to take that first step of obedience. I believe Joshua probably didn't know how God was going to get them across the river. But he knew and placed his life in God's hands. So they repented of their sins. They confessed of their sins in preparations. Today we will be having communion. God also instructs us to confess and repent. Examine yourselves. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, a person ought to examine themselves before eating of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats or drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment or damnation on themselves. God will only do great things with a consecrated life. The third step, I believe, is commitment in verses 9 through 13. God reminded them getting across the Jordan was nothing they could do. All they had to do was commit and trust God and be obedient to Him. Not worry about the flood stage of the river, nor worry or have doubt about his promise. Again, God gives him, as he did with Moses, a commitment. If they will truly follow him, he will bless them. All they had to do was trust and listen to the words of the Lord. And don't worry about the crossing. God made them a promise. He'll get them to that promised land. There was a poor woman who earned her living by hard labor, but who was joyous, triumphant Christian. Aunt Nancy, said the gloomy Christian lady to her one day, "It is well to be happy now, but I should think the thoughts of the future would sober." Suppose, for instance, you should have a spell of sickness and be unable to work. Or suppose you present employer should move away and no one would give you a job. Suppose, stop, she said, cried Nancy. I never suppose. The Lord is my shepherd, and I know I shall not want. You know, dear, it is all those supposes that are making you so miserable. You had better give them up and just trust the Lord and not worry. Worry, isn't that a fledged stage in our life? Worry about supposes of tomorrow. Matthew 6:34 said, Jesus said, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself." Worry about the supposes of material things, money, land, possessions. Do I have enough? Philippians 4:19 says, "And God will supply all your needs." Worry is supposes of facing a crisis or decision. Hebrews 13:5, "God will never leave you or forsake you." God's desire is that we trust in him, that we learn to take him for his word and commit to him, that we leave the supposes to him. He is the Lord, and he is greater than any problem that we will ever have ever faced and ever will face in our future. The fourth and last step is faith. There was only one way around the problem of the Jordan, and that was through it. Sometimes we have to go through trials, but those who are trusting him, God goes through them with us. He will not leave us or forsake us, as his promise is. God had a plan. The water would not part until the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant stepped into the water. What faith it must have taken for the priests to take that step into the water. I would say probably especially the first two, as they were looking upon the flood stage. But as soon as her foot touched the water, it stopped. In other words, it took a step of faith. Joshua and 2 million plus Israelites crossed and didn't even get their feet wet. It's the same, I believe, with coming to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. It takes that decision. It takes that step of faith. Recognizing that we are sinners. We are in need of a Savior. We need to be cleansed and consecrated by Jesus' blood. In closing, maybe you're one who is standing on the banks of a Jordan. Maybe it's a river of pride. Maybe it's a river of being lost. Maybe it's a river to lead you into relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's a river of physical health. Maybe it's a river of witnessing to a friend. God is calling you today to examine your heart, to consecrate your life, to come to faith, to come to the kneeling rail today and seek his forgiveness. Seek the blood of Jesus that will cleanse you. No river is too crooked. No river is too deep. No river is too wide. No river is too fast. But that God is able to get us through that. Heavenly Father, I think each one of us, and I know each one of us, could talk about a river in our life in the past, and you got us through it. Maybe we're presently going through a river, as I listed there, of health issues, probably. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's telling someone about Jesus. We pray for unsaved loved ones. Lord, help us to be bold. Help us to take that step. And God, it says you will never leave us or forsake us. You are there with us. We thank you, Lord, for your words today. In thy name we pray. Amen.